3 o'clock just passed. We'll pray the shortened version of the divine mercy in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I say Jesus, you say, I trust in you. Jesus.
I trust in you.
Jesus.
I trust in you.
Jesus.
I trust in you.
Name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. As Catholics, one of the things that we're known for, or we're, when somebody thinks about the word Catholic, there's two things they think about. Mass and Rosary. When somebody says Catholic, they say, oh, those are the, that's the group that goes to Mass and they pray the Rosary. Okay, so that those are identifiable Catholic principles. When you talk to a Muslim or a Jew, say, what do you know about Catholics? Mass and Rosary. Let me talk specifically about the Rosary right now, since it's a basic Catholic devotion, and I think after I'm done sharing with you about the Rosary, you'll never see the Rosary again. I have my Rosary in my backpack. Can somebody lend me their Rosary? I don't want to go out to my table. It's in my backpack. Yeah, anybody? Thank you, sir. Okay, I got it. All right. I'm going to go through the Rosary, and I'm going to tell you why the devil is afraid of the Rosary. I'm going to go into detail as to why Satan fears the Rosary. Okay? Number one, the devil fears truth. T-R-U-T-H. So the devil's not going to fear anything that Joe Biden says, by the way, or like, you know, AOC. Okay. The devil fears truth. T-R-U-T-H. Demons fear truth. In fact, let me tell you a little secret. If you've ever wondered, say, okay, when a person is demonically possessed, and then there's lower levels of possession called demonization. People that are demonized, that would be called oppression and obsession or house infestation. So, if you ever wondered, okay, so how is it that the Catholic Church for 2,000 years, I'll use the biblical term, drives out demons, because that's what the Bible says, drive out. How is it that demons are driven out? Here's the way they're driven out. They're tortured. You have to torture a demon out of a house or out of a human body. How do you torture them? Do you get like a drill and put their hand down and make holes in their hand? No, they don't have a body, okay? What do? You shoot them with an AR-15? They don't have a body. Do you waterboard them? They don't have a body. The way you torture demons is prayer. They cannot stand to hear prayer. That's the only thing that causes them pain. And I'll give you an example. Okay? Let's just say you have person A. Person A's possessed. 4 marks of possession. According to the Catholic Church, 1614 A.D., it's called the Rite of Exorcism, Chapter 2, Chapter 3. The book is called the Roman Ritual, Official Catholic Teaching. Possession is when a demon is inhabiting a body. But what are the 4 characteristics of possession? And I say that because you've seen a lot of movies on possession, so you may as well know what the church teaches. A person is possessed, number one, you can tell they have aversion to holy objects. If anybody in here was possessed, you couldn't be in here for too long. Okay? Because of the sacredness of this place, the Blessed Sacrament, the blessed images, you couldn't be here too long. Okay? Number two, second sign of possession, preternatural strength. They become very strong. Very strong. Above and beyond their physical size and age. Number three, they're able to speak languages they've never studied. They're able to speak languages they've never studied. Sometimes the languages, they make noises like animals, because what a demon wants to do is demons want to humiliate human beings because they hate us. Because we have the opportunity of getting to heaven. And so demons in possession, what they'll do is they'll try to reduce a human being to act like an animal. So you'll see possessed people growl or bark or hiss. Or crawl on their stomach like a snake. Demons try to get the human person to reduce them to an animal beast-like condition. And the fourth characteristic of possession is a person that's possessed, the demon inside their body knows certain things that they shouldn't know. For example, I remember this one instance where I was helping two Catholic priests out as they were praying over a possessed person, and I was one of five men holding the woman down, and the demon spoke through the possessed person and told one of the priests, "Hey, so how was that pornography that you were looking on Friday in your computer? Hey, those girls from Russia were pretty nice, huh?" That one priest was petrified with fear, and he stopped and he left the church. The demon called out a sin. A demon knew his sin. If you have unconfessed sin, a possessed person will call out your sins in public and humiliate you. So those are the four signs of possession. Now, again, demons aren't afraid of any weapons that you have at home. I don't care what martial arts you take. I don't care what military or law enforcement training you have. Demons aren't afraid of any weapons because they don't have a body. The only thing they're afraid of is prayer. And so prayer drives them out. Now, many people in our society are demonized. In Spanish, the term is endemoniado. You hear it a lot in the barrios. Está endemoniada. And what does that mean? It means that they have some level of demonic contamination. And demons, one of the things that they know people that are secular humanists that are living in mortal sin. They attach themselves to people that are unbelievers, secular humanists that live in mortal sin. And they know. They go, that pagan right there that goes to, you know, watches pornography every night and drinks a 12-pack every night and drops F-bombs all day and watches Narcos on Netflix. This guy's never going to go to church or go to the sacraments, and nobody's ever going to pray for him. So demons, they just torment a lot of people for the rest of their life, because most people, as they're being tormented, they don't know what to do. They just live with these nightmares. They live with these headaches. They live with this demonic thought tampering where demons talk to you. And they end up doing, hey, I'm going to go to the botanica down the street to Santero, some Santera, to some curandero. I'm going to go to the psychic over here and try to get some help instead of clairvoyant. They go to all the wrong places. Let me tell you why demons fear the rosary. I wrote it in this book. It's called Mama's Boy. And it's on page 15 and 16. And I break it down why the devil fears the rosary. Number one, the devil was kicked out of heaven because the devil refused to accept that God would become a man. We call that the incarnation. The word incarnation comes from the Spanish word carne, which means meat. God became man. God took on flesh. That's what incarnation means. God becoming man in the person of Christ. It comes from the Spanish word carne, meat. The devil refused to accept that God would become a man. And he refused to not only accept that proposition, but to worship him if he did so. Why? Because the devil knows the pecking order. God is up here supernatural. Angels and demons are right here preternatural. Human beings are right here natural. Third level of species in the order of importance and hierarchy. And so demons know human beings are under us. Humans have no power over us. Okay? Demons know that the only person who has power over them is God. Because God is supernatural. Angels and demons are preternatural. Human beings are natural. So when God said that He's going to become a man, He revealed this to all the angels. So the devil's saying, okay, wait a minute. So you are going to become a man, take on a human flesh, and I'm supposed to worship you if you become the God-man? He says, I will not serve. And I will not serve the woman that gave you a human body. I will not honor the mother of God incarnate. And so, every time you pray the Hail Mary, you're reminding the devil of what got him kicked out of heaven. It would be like this. Let's say you got fired for, I don't know, you did something at work, something you know. Let's say a cop. Here's what cops get fired for. They don't put up with it. If you lie in a police report and they find out you're gone. So you lie in a police report. Okay? Imagine your neighbor looking at you every day and saying, you lied on a police report, Jesse. You're fired. Next morning he wakes up, I'm going to get the mail. You lied on a police report, Jesse. You're fired. He says this like every day of the year. He's been living next door for 20 years. Every day he reminds me of why he got fired. And he points his finger and wags and says, you lied on a police report, you're fired. Okay? I'd be saying, I'm not going to get my mail anymore. Or I'm going to sell my house. I can't stand this. I can't take this guy putting my weakness in my face. That's what you do when you pray the rosary. Holy Mary, Mother of God. The devil goes, no! Holy Mary, Mother. Every time you say those five words in the Hail Mary, you are reminding Satan of why he was thrown out of heaven. And that causes him pain. In other words, it's like he has perpetual remorse and he can't do nothing about it. He can't change his position. He's made an irrevocable decision, and at this point, all he's being is tortured by hearing that over and over. Let me break down the rosary and tell you how powerful it is against the devil and his kingdom. Because there's two kingdoms. You got the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan. Okay. This is why the rosaries are go-to remedies. Number one, there's 50 beads. Okay. The 50 beads remind me of a 50 caliber machine gun. Okay. You know, in boxing, there's a phrase in boxing that we use when you fight or when you coach somebody. You're always telling your fighter or yourself, if you're the competitor, when you throw a punch, how do you win a fight? Throw punches in bunches. How do you win a fight? Bang. You don't win a fight by just jabbing, or maybe just a right cross. Stop. Right cross after 10. Stop. No. You unload. Punches in bunches is how you win a fight. This is what the rosary is. It's prayers in bunches. It's punches in bunches. This is literally for Satan and the devils like unloading a 50 caliber machine gun. Because what you're saying the words that he most fears. The devil doesn't fear when you say, "Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Republicans and Democrats." He's not afraid of that, okay? In fact, if you say that, you're probably going to get possessed, you know. It's not going to help you out any. Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Libertarians and Green Peace Party. And okay, that's not going to work. Get behind me, Satan, in the name of the Dodgers or the LA Rams. No, that's not going to work. The only two names the devil fears are the names that are said in the rosary. Mary and Jesus. Mary and Jesus. And when you say it 50 times with faith, hope, and love, you are doing what the young Sugar Ray Leonard used to do. I'm dating myself. Punches in bunches. Amen?
Amen.
Look at the prayer. Hail Mary. Boom, you said it. You said the name right there. See, the devil is bound by spiritual laws. On planet Earth, there are physical laws, there are spiritual laws. One of the physical laws, if I throw this phone up, it'll come right back down. If I throw this phone up 1,000 times, how many times is it going to come down? Yeah. Law of gravity. There's nothing I can do about it. We are bound as human beings by physical laws. There are also spiritual laws. The devil doesn't have a body, so he's not bound by physical laws. But Satan and demons are bound by spiritual laws. One of the spiritual laws that he's bound by, Hebrews 9:22. For without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. He knows it's the blood of Jesus that brings about the forgiveness of sins. And he also knows, spiritually, he knows that the only names that have authority over him are Jesus, the name above all names, and Mary. You know what the word Mary means in Hebrew? The word Mary in Hebrew, it means the exalted one, the high lady. The name Mary means, in fact, people think that it's an Egyptian, it's a Jewish name, it's an Israelite name. The Jews, the Israelites, took that name from the Egyptians, the Coptics, because remember, they were their prisoners for 430 years in Egypt. And so the Jewish ladies, they heard the name Miriam from the Egyptian women. They said, what a beautiful name, let's start calling our daughters Miriam. The name Miriam is an Egyptian name that the Jews borrowed because they were prisoners there in Egypt for 430 years. And the name Miriam in the Coptic language, it means the perfect one. That's what Mary's name means in Coptic, in the Egyptian language. It means the perfect one. In Hebrew, it means the beautiful one. It means the high lady. And so the devil understands that Mary's the only person in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that's been given power and authority over the devil. She's the only one. Protestants sometimes tell me, "Hey, Jess, my pastor has authority over Satan." I say, "Really? Where's that in the Bible? What's your pastor's name?" Paco Moreno, okay? Where does it say in the Bible that Paco Moreno has power over the devil? Show it. Oh, I know where it's at. First Illusions chapter 1. But I can prove to you in the Holy Bible that Mary has power over Satan. And the devil knows the Bible better than anybody else. Genesis 3:15. Look what it says in the Douay Rheims, the Old Catholic Bible. It says, God the Father speaking to the serpent. God the Father says, "I will put enmities between thee, serpent, and the woman, and thy seed, serpent, and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel." Now, modern Catholic Bibles, RSV, NAB, has it a little bit different. The pronoun, for example, in the RSV, the old Catholic Bible says, "She will crush your head." The newer Catholic Bible say, "He," it says RSV. "I, God the Father, will put enmity," that means total separation, "between you," the serpent, "and the woman." What woman? The mother of the Messiah. "And between your seed," who's the seed of the serpent? Evil men. "And her seed," who's the seed of the woman? Jesus. The word seed is singular in Greek. Only one seed. That's how we know she only had one child. It says, "He," pronoun, male, "he," that's Jesus, "shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." So the new modern Catholic Bible say "he." The older Catholic Bible say "she." So what is it? It's both, really. What do the Jews say? Well, the Jews wrote the Old Testament. Philo of Alexandria, Flavius Josephus, and Rabbi Maimonides, the greatest biblical scholar back in the Middle Ages. All three of these biblical scholars in Jewish history, in the Jewish scriptures, they say that the proper word, the proper translation of Genesis 3:15 is "she." The Jews should know their Old Testament. They wrote it. It's their language. Jewish commentators say the proper interpretation of Genesis 3:15 is "she." So are modern Catholic Bibles wrong when they put "he"? No, I'll tell you why. Because Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and Eve, corporately speaking, Mary gave Jesus a body, and when Jesus died for our sins, and he was put upon the cross on Calvary, that event right there is what crushed the devil's plans. In fact, something very interesting, if you go to Jerusalem, underneath where Jesus Christ was crucified, the Jews will tell you, is the tomb of the first man, Adam. The tomb, the skull of Adam is right underneath the cross where Jesus Christ was hung on Calvary. And so, Jesus and Mary, mother and son, corporately speaking, his death on the cross crushes Satan's plans, but he can only do that with a body because God doesn't have a body. Who gave God a body? Our Lady did. So, properly speaking, both. Here's the way I write it in my book, the way I segue both. I said, Jesus crushed the serpent directly and was directly struck by the serpent. Mary, through her cooperation in the incarnation and her witnessing the sufferings and death of her son, indirectly crushed the serpent and was indirectly struck by the serpent. So, either translation, both of them do the head crushing, mother and son. But let me go to the rosary. What makes the rosary so powerful over the devil? Okay? Number one, the Our Father. The Our Father, we prayed in the rosary 5 times. Most people don't realize that the Our Father is a minor exorcism prayer. If you look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 2851, it actually says, you know the way we say the Our Father, we says, "and deliver us from evil"? You know what the catechism says is the actual translation of that sentence? The catechism, paragraph 2851, says, it actually says, deliver us from the evil one. That's the actual Greek translation of the Our Father. The catechism says that. It says the actual Greek is, it says the evil one. And in fact, Pope Benedict, right before he resigned, he actually wrote a teaching on the Our Father where he wrote, the proper interpretation of the Our Father is deliver us from the evil one. Who's the evil one? The catechism says in paragraph 2851, the evil one is not an abstraction but refers to a person, Satan, the angel who fell and who opposes God. So the Our Father, the Vatican exorcist says, the last two Vatican exorcists say, it's an exorcism prayer. Look what you're doing in the Our Father. You're asking God the Father, first person of the Blessed Trinity, to feed you with, give us this day our daily bread. It's very interesting. That word daily bread, the catechism says this, and Pope Benedict wrote about this as well. In paragraph 2837, the word daily bread is actually the word in Greek epiousios, which means give us this day our super essential bread. Super essential bread. Pope Benedict says that's a direct reference to the Holy Eucharist. So in English, it's kind of watered down. We say, give us this day our daily bread. In Greek, the Greek Catholics say, give us this day our epiousios, which is give us this day our supernatural bread or our super essential bread. And then at the end, it says, and deliver us from the evil one. Okay? So notice the Our Father. It's a minor exorcism prayer. You're asking God the Father to deliver you from Satan. How? By feeding us with the Eucharist. So in the rosary, you have a minor exorcism prayer. The Our Father. Then you have the Apostles' Creed, which, as Catholics, they would die for their creed. In the early Catholic Church, when they were walking the streets of Rome under the Roman emperors and when Catholics were still living in the shadows, the way you knew if you came in contact with a fellow Catholic, what they would do is they would have sticks, walking sticks. So one Catholic Christian, he would make a half circle if he thought you were a Catholic Christian. He'd make a half circle, and the other Catholic Christian with a stick would make the other half circle in the sign of a fish. And this way he knows, he's brothers. They shake hands and hugs and talk about, okay, where's Mass going to be said tonight? What cave? You know, where's the baptisms going to be at? What forest? They would talk about all the underground activities because Catholics weren't allowed to have religious liberty under the Roman emperors. And so that's how they knew that they were brothers. They would make these marks in the ground and they would make a fish. They say, he's my brother. Now, the Apostles' Creed is a very old Catholic prayer. The tradition is, it was written right around the 2nd century under Pope Eleutherius. And the tradition of the Catholic Church is that the 12 Apostles, the Apostles' Creed has 12 lines, 12 sentences, 12 statements. Creed, credo in Latin means what you believe. That's what credo means, what you believe. Okay? Everybody has a belief system. Hells Angels, Mongols, Crips, Mexican Mafia, Aryan Brotherhood, Black Panther Party. I've got a book at home this thick. I took some classes from the FBI years ago on American subversive terrorist groups. It was a very good course. And here, I still have the book. It's probably about 2.5 inches thick. I have every creed or statement, or what they call it, their creeds, of every subversive group in the United States. I got the Crips, the Bloods. I've got the Mexican Mafia, the Nuestra Familia, La Cosa Nostra, the Hell's Angels, the Mongols, the Aryan Brotherhood, the Black Guerrilla Family. I have in other words, a creed is, what do you believe? Everybody believes in something. You know what we Catholics believe in? The Apostles' Creed, those 12 statements of faith. And those 12 statements, according to Catholic tradition, were written. Each sentence was written by one of the apostles. And it's all based on truth. And so when you pray from the heart, because all prayer is based on truth, demons fear prayer because it hurts them. It causes them pain. St. Faustina talks about it in her diary. She says, One day I went to go pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament to do a holy hour. So I walked over, I prayed, and I'm walking back to my room, and St. Faustina says, a big black ferocious dog approaches me. Now she says, I knew it wasn't a dog. I knew it was a demon. Because dogs typically, for whatever reason, ask God when you see him, they typically take the figures of black dogs. Okay? That's very common for demons to take the figures of black dogs. And so St. Faustina is confronted by a black dog as she's walking back to her room. And she knew it was a demon. And the dog started speaking to her. The dog started saying, Faustina, we're going to get you tonight. Because today we had so many souls we were dragging to hell. And your prayers ripped them right out of our hands. Demons have said this to saints, and an exorcist, they told exorcists, prayer causes souls to be taken out of our hands. You have no idea in this lifetime the effect and power of your prayer when it's done from your heart. And you know, I'm going to tell you why God doesn't allow you to see the effects of your prayer. I'll tell you why. Because we couldn't handle it. You know what would happen if God would show you every time the amount of good you do when you pray for somebody? You know what would happen? We'd all be walking around with a big fat beach ball head. We couldn't get through the door of any house. So God is not going to show you the effects of your prayer until the next life. And you're going to have people that were on their way to hell that are going to come up to you and give you a big holy hug in the other side. In the new Jerusalem, God willing, and they're going to say, brother, thank you. And you're going to say, dude, I don't even know you. He said, you know what? That one day you went to Mass and you prayed for all the people that are drug addicts in your neighborhood. Remember that other time you prayed the rosary and you prayed for all the alcoholics in your family? Remember? Those prayers, God used your prayers like lightning to change my heart. You will see in the next life the power of your prayers. What else do we know about the rosary that the devil fears? Well, the devil fears, again, he fears the sign of the cross. By the way, when you do this, there's so many to quote. I wouldn't even have enough time. St. Athanasius, St. Clement of Alexandria, St. Benedict. All the great giants of the church say that when you do the sign of the cross slowly, with piety, it says every time you do that, demons that are around here, boom, they're gone. Demons cannot be in the presence of somebody who makes the sign of the cross and does it with piety. This right here, without saying nothing, is a form of prayer. St. Catherine of Siena, she says, the first thing you should do if you're tempted by a demon is make the sign of the cross. You think it's a coincidence when Hollywood makes a movie? How is it that they, you know, even like monsters, okay, like, you know, fake monsters like, you know, Dracula and Frankenstein. What do they fear? The crucifix, the cross. Okay? They don't fear an Islamic sickle, you know? They don't fear the Jewish menorah. Watch the movies, even monsters, Hollywood knows. They know that there's something powerful about the cross of Christ. And this goes way back. There was a Christian historian called Lactantius who lived back in the 4th century. He was the personal advisor to Emperor Constantine. And he evangelized Constantine who became a Catholic Christian. And Lactantius, this 3rd, 4th century Christian historian, he writes, because he lived under the reign of some of the wicked emperors, so he would see when they would burn Christians alive. He writes, this historian, that when they would burn Catholic Christians alive, he says he would see, and he's writing all this down, he was a scribe for the emperors, he says he would see the Catholic Christians as they'd be set on fire with oil and pitch, they'd be making the sign of the cross, and he says as they're burning, you would see demons flee that pyre of human bodies. They would flee as the Catholics dying are making the sign of the cross. That's always been. In fact, let me teach you Let me teach you one of the oldest Catholic minor exorcism prayers. It was written about 1,000 years ago by St. Anthony of Padua. It goes like this, okay? Repeat after me. It's short. Behold the cross of the Lord.
Behold the cross of the Lord.
Begone, you evil spirits.
Begone, you evil spirits.
The Lion of the tribe of Judah.
The Lion of the tribe of Judah.
The root of David.
The root of David.
Has conquered you.
Has conquered.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
That prayer is 1,000 years old. It's a minor exorcism prayer. It's used by Catholic priests in the rite of exorcism. It's in my book, Lord, Prepare Your Hands for Battle. Here's another reason why the devil fears the rosary. Okay? The sign of the cross causes them to flee. And here's also another thing that the devil flees. In case you're wondering, when do I ever look scary to Satan? Have you ever thought, like, say, man, is the devil ever afraid of me? Maybe he's afraid of me after I do some CrossFits and my pecs are kind of pumped up, or I do some, you know, when I'm hitting the curls and stuff, and my biceps are, you know, you can see all the striations and all the marks and all the. So when is the devil afraid of you after you do a 10K or? You know, or tug of war with a bunch of guys at work. When does the devil fear you? I'll tell you when the devil fears you. Only one time we know in Catholic tradition that the devil fears human beings. I'm going to tell you. Here it is. I'm going to read it to you. St. John Chrysostom. He was the 4th century father of the church, doctor of the church. He says this. When you receive Holy Communion, the devil looks at you, and at that moment, you look like a lion breathing fire. The devil is terrified of you. The devil looks at your mouth with the crimson red blood of Jesus Christ. And when you receive Holy Communion, it subverts the power of the devil and puts him to flight. The only time we know for sure, that the devil fears a human person is right after you receive Holy Communion. You have the blood of Jesus, which looks like fire in your mouth to Satan, and it subverts him and he's gone. Let me tell you, Catholics, I want every one of you to go to heaven. That's why Terry and me put on these conferences. Terry and me have a desire to populate heaven.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. We want heaven to be stacked. Amen?
Amen.
With Catholic Spartans. And you know how it's going to happen? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to make it very simple. Terry and me are pretty basic guys. Okay? St. John Bosco says the only Catholics that will be saved, the only Catholics that will make it to heaven, is those Catholics whose life are centered on Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Eucharist as often as possible in a state of grace, A, and B, those Catholics that are devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary and pray the Rosary. St. John Bosco says, if you're not a Catholic that receives communion as often as possible in a state of grace, if you're not a Catholic that's devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary, you don't have a chance of getting to heaven. I'm telling you right now, because the days we're living in right now are wicked. Wicked. And we have evil people in many high places, even in the church. And we have wicked laws. The only Catholics that are going to be able to overcome the onslaught of the culture of death and culture of wickedness, you got to be hanging on to Jesus and Mary by their coattails. St. John Bosco says it this way. You could watch it. You could go on the internet and watch it. It's called The Visions of St. John Bosco. These are approved prophecies by the Catholic Church. Here's what he says. He had a dream. He lived in the 18th century. He said he saw the Catholic Church like a big battleship. It was in the sea. It was in the ocean. And he said around this big battleship were small little boats. And they were firing cannonballs at the Catholic Church, trying to destroy the Catholic Church. St. John Bosco, he in his dream, he says, I saw the Pope. The Pope was in the front of the ship. He was at the helm. And the Pope sees the Catholic Church is rocking. It's being attacked by all sides by little boats. And they're firing cannonballs. And they're trying to destroy the whole of the Catholic Church. St. John Bosco says, all of a sudden, the Pope takes a chain that he has in the boat and he throws it into the ocean. And all of a sudden, a pedestal comes from out of the ocean water. And on top of the pedestal is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the Pope throws a chain and he wraps the chain around the Blessed Virgin Mary, who's high on top of a pedestal. The Pope takes another chain, sees another pedestal coming out of the ocean floor. And even higher, that pedestal has the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament on a monstrance. And the Pope throws the chain around and wraps it around the Blessed Sacrament. And all of a sudden, the Catholic Church is steady. The Catholic Church, all of a sudden, all the enemies of the Catholic Church dissipate. St. John Bosco said, the only Catholics that will be saved at the end of time are those Catholics who are anchored to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist and anchored to the Blessed Virgin Mary, true devotion to Mary. And if you're not one of those Catholics, time to say, I'm in. Because I'm telling you right now, the days that we're living in right now, evil. Evil. I never thought that I would see the day that our government would marry men. You know that we're the first country in human history that a government's legalized homosexual marriage. Nobody's ever legalized. Nobody. Up until yesterday, 2010. Greece didn't legalize it. It was practiced undercover, under the shadows. Rome didn't legalize it. It was practiced undercover, under the shadows. We are doing stuff in our country that is so evil, it would make the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah blush. Let me end with, let me pick you guys up. Now I give you some theology about the rosary. Let me give you the way that the rosary saved my life. Okay? March 3rd, 1991. I lived in Lakeview Terrace, California. I'd been in the Sheriff's Department since 1993, so I wasn't a rookie any longer, 1983. I was working at East Los Angeles. Ruben and myself were rookies back then. We're just two young guys. And I remember March 3rd, 1991, I was at home. I was asleep, and I heard police helicopters and sirens. I looked out the window, and I saw a bunch of LAPD Foothill Division cars on Glen Oaks and Hubbard, Glen Oaks and Osborne. Apparently they arrested somebody. So I was kind of curious and stuff. My wife said, go to bed. You're not working. Go to bed. Don't worry about it. The next morning I turned on the television and I heard that a motorist by the name of Rodney King had been arrested by LAPD. You saw the videos. I saw the entire videos that you never saw on television. Who was chasing him? CHP was chasing him. It was a two-man car. It was a husband and wife. Husband and wife. They never showed this to you on television. They showed you an edited version of the clip. They got off the car. They approached Rodney King. He was under the influence of PCP, which is a drug. It's a drug that makes you super strong and wild and uncontrollable. He was a big guy. He'd been doing PCP for a long time. The female officer approaches him. He knocks her on her butt. He rushes her, knocks her on her butt. The husband, can you imagine working with your wife, PM shift, and a suspect under the influence of PCP, twice as big as your wife, knocks her on her can. Okay? You as a husband, and as her backup officer, the fight's on. Okay? That's what they didn't show you. Then Foothill comes over, and again, you can criticize their policy, but officers are taught when somebody's under the influence of PCP, You're barking orders, and the goal is to get them to put their hands behind their back. And you're ordered to tell the person to get their hands behind their back. At that point, you know they're not a threat. You can handcuff them. But until that happens, again, they're going to keep using force until the person complies. Well, the long and the short of it, I'm like, wow. You know, I'm kind of thinking, what would have I done if I was there? You know, as a cop, you think about all these things. Well, the next morning, I get a phone call from the watch commander. I was supposed to be off for a week. I think me and my wife are going to go camping up north. And the watch commander says, hey, just report to work. There's riots all over the city. They're burning different buildings in South Central LA. All days off are canceled. Come in, you're going to be, bring a suitcase. You're working for 7 days straight. Okay, everybody's days off canceled. Everybody's working for 7 days straight. So, there goes my vacation, right? I said, okay, well, a lot of overtime at least. So, I pack up a bag. I tell Anita, hey, I'm going to be gone for 7 days. This is before cell phones. Remember, 1991, there's no cell phones. So, I'll try to give you a call whenever I can from a pay phone. If you guys still remember what a pay phone is, okay? You know. So, I'm going to take off to work, and my wife tells me, she's watching television. She says, jump, go straight right here on the 210 freeway. Go straight to the freeway and go to work. Don't take the surface streets. I said, why? They said, well, down the street on Osborne and Foothill, there's a lot of people that are rioting. And there's just a lot of TV cameras are there. Just don't go over there. Just go straight to work. Get on the 210 freeway from behind the house on Lakeview Terrace. Don't take the surface streets. I said, okay. Did I listen to her? No. I'm like, hey, I want to tell the guys at work that I cruised by Foothill and Osborne, okay? You know, right down the street from my house, 4 blocks away. I can see it right from my window, from the second story window. So as I'm driving down Foothill Boulevard towards Osborne, we're going pretty slow. I'm saying, okay, this isn't good. We're going about 5 miles an hour. Then we're going about 4 miles an hour, about 2 miles an hour, like a car wash. And then I'm looking ahead about 3 or 4 blocks, and I notice, uh-oh, this ain't good. There's a checkpoint, but it's not a police checkpoint. It's a thug checkpoint, okay? The gangs in Lakeview Terrace, there was a Crips and Bloods, few Latinos, just as they're just being opportunists. They did a checkpoint, and they were just like, they knew there was no police on the streets. They just started looking at inside every car, and they started racial profiling, and they started beating people up. So I'm looking, I'm saying, I'm in a line where everybody's getting beat up. And here's what's actually happening. They had it very, there's like 200 guys, they made a human wall so you couldn't get through. They had baseball bats. They'd wrap around your car, they'd break the windows, so you'd get hit with about 1,000 pieces of glass. Then one guy with a brick in his hand, he would hit you in the face with a brick. Can you imagine getting hit with a brick? Okay, Taka is like getting, it's like getting hit, kicked by a mule or something. Then they would open up this human wall, then they would let you go next car. It's like a car wash, but it's not a car wash you want to go to. It's called a beat down car wash. You don't want to go to that car wash. Horrible. So here I am on the beat down car wash. I'm saying, oh no, this is terrible. 2 miles an hour. And I'm watching every person in front of me get assaulted by young gang members. Again, young pagan guys, never probably heard the gospel. Secular, atheist, humanist in their heart. Just young opportunists that don't know Christ, don't have a prayer life. And they just have rage and violence in their eyes. And so, you see paramedics coming, county paramedics, city paramedics. They're taking people. The police weren't there. I turned on the radio. I said, where's the cops at? LAPD Foothill. I turned on the radio. Remember, no cell phones back to 1991. And they're saying, the radio, KTLA says, there's no policeman in Foothill Division. All the cars have been grounded by the captain because Foothill Station is being shot at by gang members. Gang members were driving by Foothill Station and shooting at the station. All the cops, they put sandbags about 5 feet tall and they're around the station with AR-15s and shotguns. So there's no cops on the street. I had my uniform on with an LA Dodgers windbreaker over my uniform. That's it. Okay, I had my green khaki pants, and my black boots, my tan shirt, and an LA Dodger windbreaker over. And I'm saying, think about this. This is the night after Rodney King was arrested and pummeled. Can you imagine? Okay? I don't see what they're doing. They're going to break my windows. I'm going to get hit with 1,000 pieces of glass. Then the guy over here is going to hit my face with a brick. No thank you. And now I'm saying, what if my LA Dodgers thin windbreaker flags open and I got a big old badge here, Los Angeles County Deputy Sheriff Romero. What do you think's going to happen to me with 200 young gang members? What do you think's going to happen? They were going to make me tortilla. In my mind, I said, they're going to kick me to death. They're going to kill me. They're going to kick me to death. So I'm like, this is terrible. This is a terrible option. So I said, okay, what are my options? Okay, think rationally. What are my options? If I do nothing, they're going to smash my windows. They're going to hit me with a brick. If that doesn't break my jaw. Now, if my windbreaker flies open and they see a star on my chest, they're going to pull me out of the car and they're going to kick me to death. Period. They're going to stomp me to death. I said, no, that's not the way I want to go out. Or I can defend myself. As soon as they raise their baseball bat to break my window, I can have my 9mm and I can shoot everybody that raises their bat. I can start shooting. I had about 10 clips with 15 rounds each. I was loaded, so I had about 150 rounds next to me. I put on the seat. And I'm saying, okay, that's an option. Okay? And then as soon as they open up the wall, I'm going to punch it and take off. But I'm saying, both are a lose-lose situation because, watch, if I do nothing and my windbreaker flies open and they kick me to death because they see I'm an off-duty cop going to work, okay, my wife will be going to a funeral, okay, and that'll be it. I'll be dead at, 30, 29 years old, okay? That's not the way you want to go, okay? Getting kicked to death. I'm not a soccer ball. The other option is, I could see the LA Times doing this, writing a piece saying, off-duty LA deputy sheriff executes 20 young men going to baseball practice. So, both options, either I die or I'm going to go to prison for the rest of my life. Both are horrible, right? So what I do? Grab my rosary. And I started praying my rosary like I've never prayed it before. You know, we all pray the rosary as Catholics, but sometimes you pray like even more. Okay? You know what I'm saying? You all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes, like, it's really from your heart. Okay? I was like praying. I mean, so here I got my gun on one hand, my rosary in another hand. And I remember I had the rosary, 11 o'clock, and I'm praying, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And I got my gun, 5 o'clock. Faith and reason. And again, it was horrible because I didn't want to shoot anybody. I could tell these guys were hot from what happened the night before. I'm saying, this is a lose-lose situation. But at the same time, I'm not going to get kicked to death. I'm not going to let people murder me in cold blood. I have the authority to stop them. And I have the means to do so. So I'm going to do it. But I don't want to do it. But I am. Okay? I'm going 2 miles an hour into this car wash. Everybody in front of me, they're getting the treatment. On the next car, I pull up right to the line. And I saw the way they did it with 30 cars before me. They wrapped around. I had an El Camino, Chevy El Camino. They wrapped around my El Camino, 6 young gangbangers. They took off their baseball bats. They lifted up their leg and they're about to come down. And I said, and I'm praying. I'm up 11. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. I said, here it goes. Here it goes. I'm up and I'm pointing. And all of a sudden, the main protagonist, the main guy that was in front of my windshield, he goes, stop, stop, stop. The brother's cool, man. The brother's cool. I mean, the brother's cool. I'm like, I never heard sweeter words in my life, you know. The brother's cool. The brother's cool. Let him go. I'm like, the brother's cool. They opened up a human wall. Man, I just punched that El Camino. I looked back, the human wall closed, and the beatings continued. I got to the station. I called up Sylmar Olive View Medical Center that has an emergency trauma unit. I called up my friends that work over there. I said, is there activity there in the ER? They said, there's 200 people coming in that have been viciously beat up on Osborne and Foothill. I said, what? He goes, it's a massacre what's happening. There's no police out there. I asked myself to this day, okay, everybody in front of me got the beat down. Everybody. I didn't. Why? Now, I'll be honest with you, okay? These guys were angry and they were also being racial. Truth be told, most of them were black gang members. If you weren't black, you're going to get beat up. Okay? That's what they're doing. Now, last time I looked, I know I'm kind of dark, but I don't look, you know, I'm not black. They can tell I'm Latino. I didn't get, Latinos got the beat down too. Okay? Asians got the beat down. I didn't get the beat down. Why? Here's my opinion. I can't prove it. Here's why I think. Most people, when you're about to get beat up or jumped or something, most people are dropping F-bombs. I was dropping Mary bombs, not F-bombs. Okay? I was saying the right thing out of my mouth. People that were in the car, they're probably saying the wrong thing. Can you imagine what they're saying and they're seeing what's going to happen? I'm just guessing most of the people on that line weren't praying the rosary. I believe God honored my prayer. Our Lady honored my prayer. And Our Lady saved me from a savage beating or getting killed, because had my windbreaker flew open, I'd have been dead in 1991. I'd have been dead at the age of 28. Okay? There's no way I'd be here right now. Because I saw what they did to everybody else. And if they would have found a cop in the line, that would have been dead. That would have been over. So I think two things happened. In some way, shape, or form, God honored my prayers and God blinded them. Blinded them. I looked like somebody else. I don't know. Maybe I looked like a brother to them. Black. Who knows? They didn't do nothing to me. Or, through my prayers to Our Lady, God changed their heart. They had a sudden heart change for a few seconds. They got compassion for a few seconds. I got through and then they turned to animals again. I don't know what it was, but I can tell you this. My gun didn't save me. The rosary did. Though I was willing to use my gun, I'm glad I didn't. I have no doubt that the rosary saved my life, and I wouldn't be here right now in 2019. I would have been dead in 1991, but the Blessed Virgin Mary interceded and intervened for her son because she knows I'm a mama's boy. Most of you have the book, the stories in this book. I go into details of that story's in this book. Same with the Muslim story, the one I shared this morning. They're in this book. I should have been dead a few times. You know, I just thank God. A couple of times that I've almost been dead, I wrote them in the story. Why I'm still here, I don't know, but I thank God. I thank the Blessed Virgin Mary. Also, if you want to know the theology of why the devil fears the rosary, everything I said about the rosary is in this book. Why he fears the creed, the Our Father, the Hail Marys, the sign of the cross. All the theology of the rosary, of why Satan fears the rosary, is in this book. Thank you very much. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.